Welcome. My name is Daniel Nichols. I am the agriculture director at Holbrook Indian School in Holbrook, Arizona. Okay, here we are. All right, I'm going to have a quick prayer. We will get started. Father in heaven, thank you again for the privilege to be here and to share these thoughts that you've given me. And I pray that this would be a blessing and useful to those who are in attendance and to those who will listen in the future. Lord, I seek wisdom I do not have, and I ask for your Spirit to be in attendance, not only for myself, but for any who would listen. And we are grateful for the blessing that this conference has been and will continue to be, and look forward to seeing what you will do through our time here. And we're grateful that we can offer our gratitude and ask for these gifts that you delight to give, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, fantastic. All right, so making yourself replaceable. All right. First of all, I want to assure you that you are a unique individual and no one could possibly replace you in the heart of God, to your friends, your family. That's not what this is about. Okay? So what do I mean? What do I mean by making yourself replaceable? What are we getting at here? So, as per usual at the conference here, I'm going to ask any questions that you may have to just try to remember them for the end, write them down. I strongly encourage, if nothing else, having a note-taking device for that reason, that you can remember what your questions were. And if they have not been answered by the end, I'll be happy to answer them. I will give time for questions. I'm especially wanting to give some extra time for this presentation if you have questions. That being said, I probably will ask you a couple questions. So here's my question. What do you think I mean about making yourself replaceable? We had one answer already, and that was, what did you say, position?
Yeah, replacing your position. Someone else to fill your position.
Someone else to fill your position, yes. Okay. Any other thoughts? Heidi, what do you think I mean by that? Yes.
Not letting everything revolve around you.
Not letting everything revolve around you. All right. Did you read my slide notes? Okay, fantastic. Ale, what do you think?
I was thinking maybe preserving the vision that was established.
Preserving the vision that was established. You also read my slide notes. Okay. Great. Kent?
I was thinking of a certain amount of time.
You also read my slide notes. Okay, great. So, yes, what he said was when a new person at an academy-type situation, when a new person comes, sometimes the farm struggles. They take their vision with them. The new person struggles to learn what Brother Jonathan said over here, which was?
Systems.
Okay, fantastic. All right. Thank you for coming. Have any questions? No, I'm joking. All right, that is exactly what I'm talking about. Institutional farms have a unique situation in that the farmer can change while the farm continues on or tries to continue on, okay? And that is any projects that you are in the middle of, they don't go away. The new farmer inherits them. No matter how much was communicated to them about the goal and objective of that project, okay? Sales need to continue happening. So any subtleties and nuances about the farmers markets that you were going to, your new farmer may not know what those are, and if they are not communicated in some way, they will have to learn them the hard way. Customers don't go away when the farmer goes away, or at least we hope that they are not going to go away when your farmer goes away, because they are there for the vision and mission and what your school, your institution, your health, your lifestyle center, whatever institution you are at, whatever value your customers were getting, hopefully was more than just the beautiful face of your farmer, okay? These things all will continue on. This is a unique situation in agriculture, and it's unique to Adventism, and it's unique to institutional farms. To my knowledge, this does not happen anywhere else, at least not in a market garden situation. When you have large, huge industrial farms that have a position of farm manager, that's a position where hiring and firing happens, okay? People come, people go in that position, but the owner, the overall company structure generally doesn't change, right? So, and we're going to bring that into this a little bit here too. But this is not just about the change of position either. If you implement, and if you have already started implementing this, praise God, I want to hear from you. And I want to get your thoughts. But if you choose to implement the things we're going to talk about today, you are not only going to benefit your institution in the long run when the time comes that the Lord calls you elsewhere. Even while you are there, you are going to see the benefits of what I'm going to call replication of productivity. Okay? This is a subject I discussed at length with a good friend of mine. He was an entrepreneur. He had a carpet cleaning business. It's going to be a short story. I'm going to try to make it a short story. This good friend of mine had a carpet cleaning business. He got into what they call the restoration business. So they started doing repairs from floods, fire damage, things like that. And they would come in, rip out all the old rotten drywall, floor joists, everything, put it all back together. Restoration business. This business became very successful. And then he got some special certifications to do biohazard cleanup. So he would actually do things like clean up murder scenes. Okay, that's very specialized. And it turns out there was great demand because there was very, very few people who could do it. He was getting calls from people hours and hours and hours away to do this kind of work that apparently only he could do. Okay? So he says, I need to hire more people. I cannot accomplish the volume of work that I have on my own. He was turning jobs away. Okay, turn jobs away. You need to know what to say no to, right? That's something that we're going to encounter. You need to know where to draw the line and what to say no to in order to maintain your ability to be fully present and functional for your students, for your lifestyle guests, for your family, who should be the first people on that list, right? So he was saying no, but he didn't want to continue saying no, and he realized that if he were able to hire people, that would give him not only the ability to say yes to these jobs, because he believed his job was in ministry. He was a Christian, Sabbath keeper. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, but I count him as a dear brother. And he also realized the opportunity he had to minister to employees. So he saw the opportunities for ministry in the growth of his business, and he wanted to follow and the path that God was leading, the ability that the opportunities he had to continue and grow the ministry and the mission that he had with his business. But he had a problem. He struggled in that when he would hire somebody and train them, inevitably, when they would go do a job, a few things would happen. They were constantly calling him, asking him questions. They didn't do the job the way that he would have done the job. They took a lot longer to do the job than he would have done. Customer satisfaction was not the same with his crew leaders as it was when he was physically present on the job himself. Do any of these things sound familiar, farmers? Okay, all right. So you know where we're going with this. He prayed. He looked for books. He was not the type of guy to go read Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. I'm not knocking that book. I'm just saying he's not the type of person to go read that book, okay? He's the type of person to seek the Lord. And the Lord actually directed him toward a book. I'm sorry, I don't remember the title. But he and I discussed it in enough length that what we're going to talk about here is going to be the essential substance of that book, okay? And essentially, what he came to was things that are actually already very common in industry, okay? This is already what you're going to find If you go into the corporate world, if you work at one of those giant corporate farms and you step into the farm manager position at one of those giant corporate farms, this is what you're going to have. And if they don't already have this, they're probably going to ask you to make this. Okay? And what we're talking about, things like my mother, she works in a business offices. She started doing working as an account tech for a school district, and she's ended up doing several things through the years in, you know, working in the accounting offices of, you know, large state-run nursing homes. She currently works for a county in the accounting office, and she's been asked to make process manuals for what she does. Routinely, she's asked to make a process manual, and what that is these are the functions of my job, and these are how you accomplish those functions of my job. So by the time she has left her position, she has created an entire process manual for the next person that comes in to know how to do everything that she does. And it's essentially a bunch of checklists. Okay, and this is what my friend told me. Checklists. Checklists, checklists, checklists. Procedures. Written procedures for nearly everything that you do. Does this sound tedious? Absolutely tedious. Who has the time for this, right? Okay, let's talk about that. Teachers. Any teachers in here? Okay. Yes, Mindy, you teach, what do you teach again? Geography?
World geography.
World geography. Okay. Now, how many schools have you worked at?
Three.
You've worked at three schools. And tell me, true or false, every time you went to a new school, you had to completely come up with the curriculum on your own. You did. Did you have to? Is that what the school needed you to do, or is that what you had to do out of some other necessity or chose to do because you thought it was the best thing to do?
I was teaching at different levels. So it was
different levels.
Middle school, high school.
Okay. So you had no preset curriculum? No. Okay. That is unique in teaching. My wife is also a teacher. Music, there is usually not a set curriculum for music, but there's standards. There's things that you're given.
Yes, there's standards.
There are standards. Okay, so there's at least clear expectations in every role you've had, within reason. Okay, anybody else? Teacher, curriculums. Maybe you had to go find the curriculum. You at least had what, standards? True or false? Okay, true, hopefully, mostly. This has been my understanding of teaching, the teachers that I've talked to about this. And in some cases, in many cases, the curriculum the school is using is there on your desk when you walk in first day. Okay? So the process that you're even going to use, you can use the curriculum however you use the curriculum, but the procedures are essentially there, and the standards are already clearly communicated. Okay? So let's talk about institutional farms for a second. True or false? Tell me if you see this happening. Doesn't have to be at your farm. You don't have to single anybody out. Tell me if you see this happening. Problem. The farm is built on or around the farmer. In other words, everything that happens on the farm is only essentially able to happen because of the knowledge and experience and directly with intervention in some way, with direct intervention from the farmer. Anybody notice this? I'm going to say that's a problem. Problem. It is very rare that there is any significant overlap between farmers. In other words, Lord legitimately calls farmer away, farmer A, to another mission. You know, any reason that this farmer is moving on, taking another calling, leaving the institution. Farmer B comes in, and they have 3 months together to train. How often does that happen? I had maybe 2 weeks, and it was 2 weeks during the busiest time of year, so it was more like putting out fires than training, okay? And that's not a knock on anybody. This is just reality, right? This is just what happens, and there's reasons that it happens, but it's very rare that there's any significant overlap between farmers. Problem. Let's look in the mirror. As a farmer, we sometimes come in and make things the way we are used to, or the way that we think they should be. We immediately step into our role and start, get rid of that, we need this, we're gonna do it this way, and we don't take the time to learn how things were already operating before we came. Okay? And I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm looking in the mirror. This is the temptation that I have had when I stepped onto farms that I was asked to manage. And by God's grace, he put very wise people in my life. Okay, this is not any wisdom that I had. This is not something that I came up with. He put very wise people in my life who strongly advised me to take the position of a learner, of a student, before I ever started trying to make any changes on any farm that I was asked to manage. Okay? But I will tell you, the temptation was absolutely there. Right? Rather than saying, hey, that's strange, why are we doing it that way? We should do it this way. The question that was harder to ask and took a lot more time was, why are we doing it that way? Maybe there was some necessity. Maybe it was just a matter of survival. Maybe it was a matter of lack of staffing or equipment. Maybe the person just didn't know that there was another way to do it. Okay? So, where do we start? Right? We've acknowledged that there are some problems and there are some things that would be worth solving, not only for ourselves as farmers, because of the ability to replicate our own productivity, but also for the sake of our institution, so that when the time should come that the Lord calls us to move on, that it is barely a speed bump in the history of that institution. Nobody's looking back and remembering that time that farmer so-and-so came and the farm really struggled and then picked up again, and then that whole cycle repeats every time a farmer leaves and comes. Okay? And by the way, part of the revolving door, part of the high turnover rate, I think, is also because when the new farmer does come, they struggle, the institution struggles, and this whole mutual struggle leads to the farmer saying, you know what, I can't do this, I'm out. And next thing you know, 4 years come and go, four farmers come and go. And that institution is not going to continue having a farm if that pattern continues. And that is unfortunate. That is a disservice to the students or to the lifestyle guests or to the community that is being ministered to by what that farm is there to do. So where do we start? I will suggest, I'm presenting to you, this is what I think. Now, when I say this is what I think, I spent time in prayer, I talked to other people, okay? But in this presentation, I'm going to submit to you that this is where we start. The why, okay? If any of you were at my presentations last year, you might remember this phrase, the why. This is where you're going to start. This is where I think we should start, okay? The why. What do I mean by the why? Okay? The why is, why does your institution have a farm? Why is the farm integral to the mission of your entire organization? Okay? The why is the guiding principle. The why, the reason the farm exists, the farm's mission is true north. It is always going to be the guide for anything that happens on the farm when you are there or when anybody comes and takes over for you. The why should outlast any personnel changes. Okay? And the why, ideally, is widely known and agreed upon by administrators and all farm staff. And ideally, all staff at the school. Okay? And here's another thing. How the farm fits into the institution's mission, the entire mission of the institution, okay, will determine how the farm fits into the institution itself. Okay, so you no longer have these farms that are struggling with identity crises. Are we here to serve and minister and educate students? Are we here to try to generate income for the school? Are we here to grow food for the cafeteria? Are we here to, what are we here for? Having all of those questions answered, written down, outlasts any personnel changes you may have. And there's no longer this identity crisis of what the farm's actually here for. So when a farmer comes and a farmer thinks, hey, we can turn this thing around, we can really start making money, principal, president, somebody sits down and says, hey, that's great. Let's make that a goal. Let's find a way that that works into the pre-existing mission for the farm. But making money is not the goal, right? We can do it, and we're not going to say not to, but let's come back to the original why first before we build on that, okay? And question, and I'm not saying right now, but at some point in the future, hopefully, after some conversations, can you and everyone associated with the farm answer the question, this question, and give the same answer? This question right here. Why does your institution have a farm? Okay? If the answer to this question is yes, move on to step two. Okay? And just to belabor this point, why do you need a why? We already said a little bit. So a vision for the farm that is built for longevity and will transcend personnel changes. That is part of why you need a why. It will help determine if the farm is fulfilling its purpose. Okay? And just to build on that right there, you need to know what that purpose is in order to determine whether or not it is fulfilling its purpose. If you don't know what its purpose is, there's always this wondering, right? Like, oh, are we really doing, are we really making it? Are we, you know, well, if you already know what the purpose is, it's very clear cut. You know you're fulfilling that purpose? Great. You know you're fulfilling its purpose. And fulfilling its purpose means the farm is successful. Is the farm in the black or is the farm in the red? Well, the farm's in the red, but our students are having opportunities to learn about God in the garden. Our farm is successful. Right? Okay. So, once you're clear on your why, move on. So I'm going to say something, and if I don't say it enough, I'm going to say it right now, and it's like the biggest, boldest thing in this whole presentation. Write it down. Write down all this stuff that we're about to talk about, okay, and the why. Put it on paper. Post it somewhere. Make a laminated sign, mission statement for the farm. Put it somewhere everybody can see it, okay? Write it down. Write everything down. And does this take time? We already said that. Yes, this is going to take time. Okay? This is going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take cooperation, collaboration. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to lock yourself in your office one day for the day and 8 hours later emerge with everything your farm needs to replace you. Okay? But let me read my notes so I don't forget anything here. This time that is spent in doing these things is going to pay off in the long run. You may not even see the results of what you are doing. Does that sound like a familiar concept in what we believe and do and preach and practice? You may not see the results of what you do. You may not see the fulfillment of the promise, but the promise is there. The time you spend investing in your institution is not time that is wasted. Okay? Is your institution investing in you? I believe they are. I believe my institution is investing in me. I believe, and I know, because he's told me in meetings that I've had, my principal wants to see me grow, wants to see me thrive and be happy and have a fulfilled purpose and mission and be successful in what I'm doing at the farm. And he's personally, the institution collectively, is supportive and investing their energy and hopes and prayers in what I'm doing. I want to do the same for the institution and for the children that we are ministering to. This time is well spent. This time working on these things is well spent. And I'm telling myself this every bit as much as I'm telling you this, because I still struggle to force myself to sit and take the time. Okay? So what I've had to do, I've had to schedule this. I have 2 hours a week that I have scheduled into my day, my week, to go and sit with pen and paper, with my computer, and work on these things specifically that I'm going to talk about. And when the time comes that I feel like I have nothing left to write down, praise God, I get those 2 hours a week back. But before I've ever gotten to that point, and I can already tell you, I have already gotten more than those 2 hours a week back because of the ability for my full-time person that I work with on the farm, because he is now more autonomous than he's ever been. I already got those 2 hours a week back in time that I do not have to go and help him or my student workers accomplish the tasks that they are now fully autonomous on. So I've already gotten those 2 hours back. But I'm continuing to invest those 2 hours so that I can make this happen and really do everything I can for the institution, for the farm, to be successful and fulfill its mission. And what I have to do, I have to take a breath. I go and I sit in the office and I have all these other things on my to-do list and I take a breath and I pray. Help me to do what I can for this ministry in this time for the future. Okay? It's not easy. It was a struggle to get myself to sit down and do this, but it's worth it. So, what are we going to do? Standardization and systematization. Okay, love the English language. Little mouthfuls up there. Standardization and systematization. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but you know what I'm trying to say. Okay, so this can be big picture stuff. This can be little detail stuff. And it needs to be both, and it needs to be everything you can possibly think of. Anything that you do. Okay? Now, quick practical note here, okay? Only I can sit down and approve my workers' time and hours, like on the Fridays before payroll. Like, only I can sit down and enter my student workers' hours, okay? Like, I can't ask my assistant to do that. He doesn't even have the login credentials to do so. Only I can approve his hours, okay? There are certain things that legitimately only you will be able to do by necessity of your position, but I'm still making process manuals for those things. Okay? Those are the last things on the list. I've prioritized them at the very bottom because I cannot teach somebody else to do them while I'm still there. But those are ultimately things that I'm going to make sure the knowledge is there for the future. So, yes, there's going to be things that only you can do, but make sure those are things that you can only do by virtue of your position and your job function and duties, and not for lack of training or the patience and time that it takes to train somebody else to do it when you could do it a lot faster. Okay? So this could be something as simple as implementing an agricultural system that is so standard in the industry that tools are readily available, videos are readily available, the training and resources are readily available, like a 30-inch bed system. Okay? How many of us use a 30-inch bed system? Okay? Look at all that. Do any of us not use a 30-inch bed system? All right. You work at an institution? Yeah. You do? Awesome. Okay. I'd be curious to hear what you do. Why are 30-inch bed systems great? Why does everybody do it? Well, part of it is because of Elliot Coleman, right? And it's become industry standard, which means tools are readily available. Training materials are readily available. I don't have to go write all the procedure manuals for how to plant different things. I go on Paperpot Co., Modern Grower, and I use their planting notes. And I literally print those and follow them and give them to my people to train with. I didn't have to sit and write that because it's industry standard. The tools already exist. Right? I use the gritter, the Neversink Farms, the gritter, okay? Those tools already exist. The spacings are already set. It's industry standard. I use Farmer's Friend, Quick Plant Fabric, pre-existing, industry standard. The tooling already exists. I don't have to reinvent the wheel and then teach somebody. It's already there. Those materials, that training, it's industry standard, okay? So something like a 30-inch bed top, finding an industry standard, following it, using it, all of a sudden you've got a whole bunch of resources available to you that you don't have to sit and write it. You do need to find a way to make it easily available to people that you work with and to anybody that would come in the future, okay? So print it out, laminate it, put it up on a board somewhere, print it out, put it in a binder, do whatever you need to do, okay? should make the resources available. All you have to do is find them, print them, make them available. Okay? Routine tasks like planting and maintenance schedules. When I say maintenance, I'm talking about things like bed prep, fertilization, spraying, nutrients, any sort of pest control routines that you have, cultivation, weeding, okay? These things are typically done on some form of a schedule, unless you 100% fly by the seat of your pants and just walk out to see what's happening in your garden and say, oh, I need to weed that. All right, grab a hoe. Okay? That's obviously not sustainable. If you do that for any length of time, you're going to discover that it's not going to work well, and you're going to be stressed and always feel like you're behind. Okay? But that's where you also, and this is something I picked up from Adner, is prioritization of your crops as well. Okay? So then you have not only the routine tasks that need to happen, but you have prioritization of those tasks, right? Yeah. So that you say, okay, I don't have time to cultivate the lettuce, but I do have time to prune tomatoes, to prune and trellis tomatoes. Tomatoes are higher on that priority, so the lettuce can wait. And if the lettuce doesn't happen, imagine this. You're juggling, and you keep adding balls and adding balls. And you ever seen those people, they can juggle like 10 balls, 11 balls, a dozen balls. Amazing, right? Okay? But eventually it gets to be too much. So you drop one. You drop them all, right? If you drop one. So what you do? You set one down. You're not dropping it. You have now made it your decision. It's not like, oh, I'm powerless and I can't do all these things. You've actually taken the power back and said, I'm making the decision to set this down. All of a sudden, that is of your own volition, and it's not something that happened to you, and you're no longer a victim. You've prioritized, and you've made the decision. I'm choosing to not cultivate the lettuce today, and maybe the lettuce won't get cultivated at all as tasks continue to grow. Now, any of you ever completely cross everything off on your list? Okay, it's not going to happen. Not for me. I hope it does for you. I hope you cross everything off on your list. I wish that for you. I pray that for you. If you're like me, it's never going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Just realize that the things that always stay at the bottom of your list might be things that you just completely get off your list. And it's okay, because you're going to feel better knowing that it's not because, oh, I just couldn't do it and this thing happened to me and I'm a victim. Again, you've taken the choice into your hands again and said, I'm setting this down. These things are more important, and I only have this much time to do these things, and whatever doesn't fit into that time is not more important than spending time with my baby girl. Okay? I say that because I have a baby at home. So, all right. So writing down things like procedures, okay? And this is a simple thing. Let's talk about flipping a bed, all right? You've got a bed. You just harvested your last cutting of arugula from that bed. This bed is done. Okay, so already built into your maintenance and planting schedules, which we're going to look at here in a second, bed flipping is part of that. Okay, so flipping that bed, now I know that's the next thing on the list. My workers know that's the next thing on the list. So I've trained them, assuming there's some certain tasks that they need to be trained on, so that's going to take your time. But assuming they've been trained on those tasks, then just in case they can't remember, right? And this is where the replication of your own productivity comes in. Okay, not everybody remembers everything the way you do, right? So let's talk about flipping a bed. It's very simple. You think, I just right flip the bed. I've taught them how to do it. Well, what happens when you show up and all the crop residue is still there? And you say, I showed you guys how to, you already know you need to remove the crop residue. I said flip the bed, you didn't do it. What if you had a list that said, use stirrupo to cut roots. Step B, remove crop residue, dump in compost pile. Step C, add X number of pounds per bed foot of fertilizer. And if you have it standardized that you always plant in like 30-foot blocks or 50-foot blocks or whatever, then say add X number of pounds per fertilizer if you don't want people to have to do math. Okay, but I'm assuming everybody's got a calculator in their pocket, like my geometry teacher told us would never happen, right? Your cell phone? Okay. 0.25 pounds per 10 bed feet of composted chicken manure. Okay, so on the list here, I know I need to plant 30 feet of radish. Okay, so 3/4 pound of chicken manure fertilizer. Spread that. Okay, done that. Okay, this much ferrous sulfate, this whatever it is, broad fork, tilther, whatever. Every step of that process is written on a checklist that's posted somewhere prominent. Now, hey, you guys, that bed needs the beds in greenhouse 2 need to be flipped. Can you guys go do that? Okay, great. And then guess what happens when I step into that greenhouse now? The beds are flipped exactly the way that they were trained because nobody forgot to remove the crop residue because it was written down on a list that they could go refer to so that they didn't have to be the farmer and remember everything that I've learned over the course of how long have you been doing this? Years, probably. You just know it because it's you. It's your life. You're familiar with it, okay? But they don't, students especially, they don't just know it. And just the fact that I came and showed them how to do it a couple times doesn't mean they're going to remember every step every time, right? But it's all written out. Guess what? I just replicated my own productivity. That's what my friend taught me about his restoration business. He's took the time to write down all those checklists, and guess what? Customer satisfaction went up. Time to accomplish jobs went up. Nobody forgot steps. Everything happened exactly the way it would have happened if he was on the job. It might have taken a little bit longer, but that's a sacrifice we're willing to make because he saved the time now. So the time that it took, the extra time that they took, he gets back in dividends because he is free to replicate his own productivity, to be productive on his own without having to go back and retrain and go over things that he's already taught people. Okay, how does that sound? Does that sound like the time that you're getting back now, those 2 hours a week, are worth it? Because you're getting more than those 2 hours a week back in the autonomy and productivity that you have given to your workers, right? And guess what? My students don't come to me now and go, oh, I forgot how to do this, right? And there's that awkward conversation of like, I thought you knew to do this. I never have that conversation anymore. So they feel good. They got the work done. They feel good. All of a sudden, guess what? Morale goes up. And instead of having student workers that drag their feet coming down to the farm and they're just here because Mr. Nichols, nothing's ever good enough for Mr. Nichols. He's always going to tell me everything that I did wrong. No, we don't have that relationship anymore. We have the relationship of they're empowered, they're happy, they're autonomous, I'm free to get work done. Okay? Huge seismic shift when I started taking the time to make sure that the information that's in my head is on paper for other people to be able to have access to and utilize. Okay? Yeah, okay, great. And then remember to do what? Write it down. Okay? All right, write it down. So again, this is about getting the information that's in your head on paper so somebody else has access to it. So doing things like creating a planning schedule and task. Okay, yes, we already talked about all this. Give your workers autonomy. Awesome. Okay, so you can do it yourself. You can do this DIY. You can sit down and make a spreadsheet and write yourself a planting schedule. Here's an example of one. Okay, if you don't want to pay first, because there's some tools you can use. There's software you can use to do this. There's some templates and things you can buy to do this type of thing. If you don't have the funds or you don't like the way any of them are laid out, which I didn't personally, there's one that I do really like, which we're going to talk about, and it's a shameless plug for somebody that's here. Two shameless plugs, actually, for somebody that's here. But I did actually sit down and DIY it. I did something like this. This is what I did here. Okay. I literally sat down and made a spreadsheet for every bed, accounting for every bed in our garden. Every greenhouse, every tunnel, every bed, okay, and every field has a column. And you see the dates on the left. That's weeks. I don't have individual dates. I have weeks, okay? And I just made it based on 2022. Or no, I think I made it based on 2023 because I was looking ahead because it was fall of 2022. And this is just never going to change. March 5th might be a Monday next year, might be a Tuesday, Wednesday, doesn't matter what day of the week it is, it's the week that has March 5th in it, okay? Because as long as, honestly for me, as long as I'm within a few days, I'm good with that, right? And so what this allows me to do is you see that I'm first of all, I'm not leaving beds empty, okay? I have that 2 weeks of time for bed prep and getting things ready. But then I know, okay, this is when I'm going to plant the beets. I know how many days beets take. And I actually have that on a separate tab on the spreadsheet, and I just copy and paste the beets into the planting dates, okay? And I copy and paste. Now, I still haven't perfected this system for me, so you see the little block that's like to the right and above? That's the indoor planting. That's what IP stands for, indoor planting. Okay, so like the spinach, I'm putting that in the germination chamber on the week of July 23rd. Okay, and yes, I can grow spinach in July, put it under shade cloth, use micro-sprinklers, and I germinate it in a germination chamber. It's not perfect. Sometimes the plantings can be a little spotty, but our customers, A-U-R-O-C-H, A-Rock, something like that, Johnny's Seeds, that spinach is amazing. It's delicious, so tasty, and I can grow it through the summer. Okay, little side note there. So I stick it in paper pots, stick it in my germination chamber. 2 weeks later, it's ready for transplant. So I know that each bed, I have a plan. And I can look forward and say, know that I don't have any big gaps, any big white spaces where there's nothing happening in a bed. And I also know that I have space for everything I'm going to plant. Okay, so this is a multi-page spreadsheet. This has taken me months to create. And I'm still perfecting and working on it, all right? So it's not like, oh, I've got it finished, and here, let me just give you a template, because I'm sorry, I can't do that yet. Someday, maybe I will, and sorry, I'll probably, like, put it on Etsy for download, and you'll have to pay me for it, because of the amount of time I've invested in this. But I'll be happy to share it with you when I do, okay? But, what was that? Yeah. Yeah. So, you can make it yourself. You can make a planting schedule. And then task lists. I mean, I literally just sit down on Word and I write, okay, bed flipping procedure, step by step by step. Okay, and I can't give you one of those because you already know what your procedure is. You're just going to edit mine anyway. Every farm is different. Okay, so it's literally very simple. It's a checklist. And I print it and I laminate it and I have it posted in by the tool shed where all the bed flipping tools are. Right, it's just right there, okay? But there are resources that can save you time if you want to avail yourself of resources that are pre-existing that can help you do all of this. And shameless plug, Seed Time. Yeah. Paul Deisinger put this together. He's not the only person to make farm management planting schedule type software, okay? He's just one of the first, to make it available and useful for home gardeners. So there's some others like, Ag Central. I was just looking at this like whole list. There's like four of them. Like if you go on and like, planting schedule software or something like that, they exist and none of them are free. I just happen to really like Paul's and I like Paul. So there you go. And he's here. Oh, and by the way, he has... there is a paid version, there's a free version. I use the free version enough to discover that it will not work for me. Okay? I need the paid version. I need the unlimited everything, and I'm going to show you why here in a second. Okay? So he has a lifetime price, lifetime access. It is worth it. Right? And he has a special. Okay? Go to his booth. He's here. He's got a QR code. If this is something you think you might be interested in, talk to him, and you can get $100 off of a lifetime membership, and it is not cheap, but it will save you time. It has saved me time, and I'm going to show you how it saved me time here in a second. Or you can get 40% off your first year just to try it for a year, and come find him again at the next conference, and hopefully he'll have a special for you to get some money off of the lifetime once you've decided after a year that it's worth it to you, okay? This does take time to sit down and do. It's not a super intuitive program. I haven't really done a whole lot of, like, feedback with him because I know that he's constantly working on it. So it's not like he's just not doing anything, right? So like, I know Paul's already doing a lot of work on this. He's done a lot of work on this. He's going to continue doing a lot of work on this. And every time there's been an update, it's been super helpful. So I'm just trusting that he's continuing to make it better. And my experience has been that he is continually making it better. And it's becoming extremely useful. Another cool thing about Seed Time is that it generates task lists for you, okay? So if I take my planting schedule, right? Like, so I just inserted this planting schedule here. You know, just like, okay, here's a bunch of my successive planting for beets, for one of my kale varieties, and for my Salanova lettuce, right? Just to have a few on there. I mean, I've got, on my actual planting list, I've got like 40 varieties, I think. Too many. It might be, because I have each individual type of kale, right? So we're talking like full varieties, not just like, if some people just count kale as like one thing. For me, I do count kale as one thing, right? On my other schedule there. But on Seed Time, I actually have my individual. So I have like curly, red curly, dino kale, right? And collards. Okay. Like I've got all four of those. To me, that's, you know, so that's why I have like 40 things on my Seed Time, or more on my actual Seed Time schedule, which I haven't made for this year yet, so that's why I can't show it to you. and it's hard to go back and look at previous stuff. You have to like uncheck a whole bunch of things. I tried doing it last night, and I spent like 30 minutes just to not be able to show you anything useful. So it was faster just to make a fake planting schedule to show you what happens when you make that schedule. So let me get mobile here so you can see what you're actually looking at if you haven't used Seed Time. Okay, and yes, shameless plug, but it is what it is. So over here, you click on Add Crop, it adds a crop. You can go to the advanced settings, tell it how often you do successions. So like on beets, I just left it standard, but my succession on beets is 4 weeks. Okay, so I do 4 week successions on beets. So you change that setting, right? And they actually have like seed varieties. So Merlin is what I plant. Merlin is a fantastic variety of beets. Highly recommended. Wow, time flies. And what I do is I just put it in there, tell it the variety. It knows the days to maturity. He's already programmed all of the cold tolerances and everything into it. He's got a winter gardening algorithm that is actually pretty accurate. And I tell it my successions are 4 weeks, and then I, boom, do it. Merlin's there. Now I just click over here, add succession, add succession, add succession, add succession. And it populates over here on the calendar. So bed preparation for beets. Direct sowing of beets sometime during this week. 2 weeks later, bed preparation for the next bed of beets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bed preparation, cultivating, bed preparation for beets, cultivating, cultivating. And you go on and on and on, and then it has the harvest window. So I've got a 4 week harvest window for those beets, and it shows you where that harvest window is on the calendar. And basically what I do is I just add succession, add succession, add succession, add succession. And then you can click and drag and move those harvest windows around until there is no gap in any of my harvest windows. And it moves everything else onto the calendar accordingly, backwards or forwards to wherever you put that harvest window. Okay, so that's really especially important for me for my lettuce because I cannot have a gap in my lettuce production through the whole winter. I need to have lettuce production. Okay, year round, that Salanova needs to be coming out. Okay, I have limitations on my spinach, and interestingly enough, it's actually the winter. It gets too cold for my spinach because I don't have anywhere to protect it enough. But I have good Salanova varieties that grow through the winter just fine. So once you have done that, you get a task list. So you go over to another tab here and you say tasks, and you go to any week. So I just picked a week in April just to show you, and it's going to show you what needs to happen. We need to cultivate this bed of lettuce. We need to cultivate this bed of lettuce. We need to cultivate these beets. We need to seed this lettuce. We need to cultivate this. We need to cultivate this, on and on and on. And it doesn't show you harvesting because, you know, obviously, hopefully you have an idea of the harvest windows. And you just, it's there. The task list pre-generated. So, saved me a lot of time. Because now what I do is the people that work, the gentleman that works with me, he has the link and login and access to this, and he opens up it on his phone. He's got the task list for that week. He doesn't even ask me what to do. He just goes to the task list. Boom, done. Okay, this lettuce needs to be cultivated. That bed needs to be prepped, on and on and on. And it gets better, okay? Because he just did this. They just did this. This is the layout feature. You can spend a lot of time playing with the layout feature, but basically, if I come over here and I say, okay, show me the crops. Okay, show me the crops. And I take these beets, okay, and I dragged these beets down, and I put them in here in greenhouse one, bed one, okay? And it's graphical, so you lay it out, you drag it out here, okay? And this is by date, okay? So this is when they're sown, and the harvest windows and everything. And then if you flash forward far enough until you get past the harvest window for beets number one, you'll watch on my layout that they disappear. And that bed is free again. So if you're a visual person and you want to see your garden throughout the year, you can actually see it on the layout. This takes some time. This is part of the reason it's taken me so long to have this, because now I can actually drag and drop all of my crops into the beds, make their sizing and everything, and through the entire year have a graphical layout of where my beds are going to be. But there, it gets better, because you notice what happened here? Is as soon as I took those beets, come on, what's it doing? Boom. Sorry, it's something. There we go. Okay, as soon as I took those beets and dropped them on there, you see this label that it added? GH1, B1, greenhouse 1, bed 1. Okay, so that actually shows up on the task list. So if I go to my, let me go back to my tasks. Okay, and I'm going to go to back to that April. Da-da-da-da. Let's go to, or wait, 26. Okay, look at that. Beets 1, Merlin Hybrid, Greenhouse 1, Bed 1. It even tells him where to go. Okay, so that's the layout feature. That's why I spent the time to do this, was because before he would ask me, like, hey, it says cultivate lettuce 3, but I don't remember where that is. GH1, bed 1. Okay? So, I'm really grateful for what Paul did with Seed Time and what he's continuing to do with Seed Time, and I want to support him, and it's been worth every penny. Okay? Here's another resource you have if you're a teacher. Okay? AdAgra has a curriculum. I use it as a guide. I don't use it word for word verbatim, and actually, if you go talk to the lovely ladies who wrote that curriculum, they didn't intend that curriculum to be for farmers to use as a curriculum, right? They intended that curriculum to be for teachers that hadn't gardened before, right, who wanted to start a gardening program and start gardening classes or teach gardening at the school and integrate it into their pre-existing curriculum. So that's what they wrote it for. So if what I do is I sit down and I look through, like, a topic that I want to teach, and I highlight the things that are useful to me as a farmer who was not trained as a teacher. I was not trained as a teacher. I was trained as a farmer. I'm a college dropout, okay? College dropout, truck driver, go down the list. By training, not a teacher, okay? Now I'm teaching, but that's a recent development, and that's the Lord's mercy, because long story, when I graduated high school, I wanted to be a high school science teacher. Stuff happened, made some bad choices, dropped out of school. By God's grace, here I am. And I'm not teaching science, which I would love, but I am actually teaching something I love even more. Okay. And I get to farm. Like, my two dreams. Anyway, it's amazing. So God's amazing. Okay, so if you are struggling with teaching or curriculum or getting ideas or having a plan for your classes so that you can look ahead and say, what am I going to teach in 2 weeks? This is what's helped me do that. Rather than walking down to the garden knowing my class is going to be there in 20 minutes and going, what am I going to teach? Okay, which I'm not going to lie, I occasionally still do, but a lot less than I used to since I have this curriculum. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord, we have time for questions. Any questions? You know, I think the way that I, okay, yes, so his question was, how long should we wait until we have firmly established the why before we move forward with any of these other operations that I was talking about? And I think the way that I phrased it initially was, say, get the why figured out before you do anything else. I think the way I worded it was incorrect and maybe a little unclear, so thank you for bringing that up. That doesn't mean, like, freeze and absolutely don't do anything, right? In a perfect world, that's what we do. It is urgent, right? What the risk is that you start that conversation and everybody gets busy and it never gets finished, okay? So to the extent that you need to continue doing other things, this is what I think, and I'd be curious to hear what Chris thinks. To the extent that you need to do other things, like life, farm, like things need to continue happening. You can't just freeze everything until this why is established. But to the extent that you need to continue operating, keep this question at the very top of your priority list, okay? So that it's not something that can possibly drop off your radar and not get answered later. Keep it at the very top of your priority list so that it is an ongoing conversation until it is settled. Make it the priority, right? The 2 hours of office time that you're going to give yourself to go and write these procedure manuals and process, you know, tasks and everything, those 2 hours are dedicated to the why until it's answered. Because you still have to farm. You still have to farm, you still have to teach, you still have to do whatever you still have to do. Life still has to happen. But that why cannot get pushed to the bottom of the priority list until it's answered. And once it's answered, print it out, post it. Everybody knows it, right? Was that a follow-up?
Yeah.
Yeah. What if the why is put on the farmer? Okay. All right, so this is a... Here's a situation where I don't necessarily want to tell you, because I don't know anybody else that's involved, right? What I would... And maybe this is something... Again, I want to come back to Chris's thoughts on this, because my personal thinking is, like my flesh, my initial reaction is great. Okay, I'll write the why. I'll figure it out. Okay, but here's the thing. This is not just about the farm. Okay, this is not just about the farm. It's about the whole institution. Okay, does the institution already have a mission statement? If the institution has a mission statement, then anybody who has a stake in that mission should be a part of the process. And when I say should, we can't compel people. You can't compel. If this has been given to you to do and there's no buy-in or involvement for anybody else, you can't compel somebody to become a part of that conversation, right? But, like, personally, what I would do, I'm just telling you, is what I would do, and I'm not saying this is the right thing to do. This is just how I work, would be to go back and reinitiate that conversation, but present it in a way to say, this is actually about the whole organization. This is not just about the farm. This is not just about me wanting to have clear expectations. It's bigger. The organization has a mission. We have a mission statement. And I believe it would be beneficial for the whole organization, not just me, to know where the farm fits into that mission. Right? For the whole sake of the... So, and again, you can't be coercive, right? But pray about it, too. You know, I mean, like, pray before you have those conversations and remember that it... And be genuine, too. Like, I want this question answered. Okay, so then, like, self springs up in all these little places we don't expect. And so be genuine. Find in your heart, do you actually want this for the organization, or do you just want to get this answered so you can move on with your life? You know what I'm saying? And be genuine about that and be honest with God. What do you have thoughts on that, Chris? Or?
That is what you said. That's it. It's okay. Part of the whole, and you're playing as a team.
Yeah. So what Chris said was it's got to be part of the whole and playing his team. So yeah, reiterating what I was saying. So does that feel like a... Okay, awesome. I mean, technically we're supposed to be done, but I'll take another one if there is one. Yes, sir. Sure. At Holbrook Indian School specifically? Yeah. Okay, so the question was, at my school specifically, is the farm a budget item? Like, are we a department with an operating fund?
Right.
And the answer to that question is yes, we are. And that's just what works for our school. And not every school can do that. Not every school wants to do that. Some schools want to do that but struggle to. And that's a place where every situation is going to be unique. And part of my presentations from last year, the why and the how for institutional farming, isn't saying that there's a model that any school should adapt. It's saying that a school needs to be very clear on what their model is. So if you're clear on what your model is, the school's clear on what their model is, there's agreement, things are on paper, it's understood, and it's workable, it's able to work, then great. And so... Yeah, and okay, so let me do this. For the sake of the recording and for the sake of all of your time, I'm going to pray. So Kent had some great points there about the struggles of, like, you know, being a self-supporting institution and the things that the school wants to accomplish with the farm but without the funding, right? So by default, now you have to make money in order for the farm to be able to work, okay? So I want to address that. I want to, and I'm going to, but I'm going to pray and close, so that if you all need to go somewhere, I can respect your time, I can respect the time of the people that are here waiting for me to wrap up the recording, and then I want to talk with Kent, and you're all welcome to hang out. Okay, so here we go. Father in heaven, thank you so much again for the opportunity to be here, and for what it is that you have shown us about the ways that you want to communicate to people, to us, to our students, to our customers, to anybody that comes in contact with nature and there, through that contact with nature, comes to see and know and learn more about you. And I believe that is why we are here. I believe that is why we do what we do, so that people can see you and know you, a true picture of you, and your care and love for each of us. So give us wisdom to continue with that mission that you've given, that mission not just of farming, because it's so much more. And we're grateful that you would entrust us with these things, and may we always remember what it is that you have done so that we even have the opportunity to know you. And we're grateful that we can ask, we can come to you and pray and offer our gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.